Our sermon this morning is a continuation of our end time persecution delusions that we began last week. As you recall, last week we only had time to cover the first of our 2 points concerning this new persecution, a persecution such as never seen before, which Satan instigates against Christendom in the last days of the last times that we read of in Mark 13. As you remember, in our first point, we illustrated what that persecution of Mark 13, verse 19, did not mean. Remember, in this verse, God promises a new and a new kind of persecution, a different persecution, such as has never been seen before, nor will ever be seen again. As we said previously, every possible cruel and bloody persecution has been done already against Christians. Yes, so this strange new type of persecution will be radically different from Satan's previous bloody persecutions. This persecution comes from the father of all lies, again, in a different way, cunningly disguised as an angel of light within Christendom. That persecution that we fear we are in today will be horrible beyond words, but it will be one that's not expected. It will be a spiritual deception, a spiritual hypocrisy, a persecution of willful distortion of God's word, so radically different that it will successfully lull Christians to sleep with its smooth, subtle, milquetoast hypocrisy that attempts to redefine scripture, redefine sin, foolishly declaring that sin is not really, really sin anymore, that the Ten Commandments are really only the Ten Suggestions, and that every man can do as he wills, as at the time of the judges. Yes, that persecution of spiritual hypocrisy we may fear is here and is now evident. Oh, just look around at the utter destruction of Christendom today, where such a high percentage of establishment Christendom openly rejects scriptural inerrancy and by their own mouth confess this by welcoming open, abominable sins within their own church, redefining sin, calling sin the new holiness. Yes, from their own mouth, well over 50% of establishment Christendom has already formally approved, admitting these abominable sins in their church, which of course automatically eliminates Jesus Christ from their church. Yes, just this week, the Global Methodist Church formally approved, admitting and accepting the sins of homosexuality, same-sex marriage, transgenderism into their church as the new holiness. 100 years ago, the Methodist Church still fought earnestly against sin with godly ministers. But this strange persecution has subtly taken away common sense inside of almost every Christian denomination, where none are following the same doctrinal standards of interpretation that their forefathers followed 100 years ago. Yes, even 10 years ago, things are happening that are unimaginable today. And remember, Harvard and Yale and Princeton and all the colleges of today, they were Puritan colleges established to establish Puritan ministers, Reformation ministers, not the atrocities and the abominations we see today. Yes, just look in their charters. It's still written there. They have strayed from the gospel radically. Yes, this strange new persecution we may know and may fear is here and now, today. Just honestly look around at our scriptural and doctrinal reinterpretations and just compare them with the Christendom of 100 years ago. It will stand out so radically if we are honest. Yes, what we have described then is just one of the 29 doctrines that establishment Christendom has openly, blatantly perverted in this generation, carrying the meaning, the real meaning, away from Scripture, turning it upside down and inside out. Sadly, the other 28 doctrines are just as grievous, just as blatantly blasphemous. So it is not hard to see and believe that 99% of Christendom has accepted, adopted, assimilated, and incorporated unscriptural doctrines into God's holy church, His bride, which is supposed to be pure and spotless and without wrinkle, dressed in the garment of holiness for her bridegroom, Jesus Christ. Yes, Jesus calls these sins not just sins, but abominations, the worst possible sins, over 30 times in Scripture. But Christendom today has chosen to redefine sin, to call sin the new holiness. Yes, this new persecution of hypocrisy is here, it is now. We are experiencing it. Tragically, we are blind to it because we are in the midst of the time of the parable of the 10 virgins, where God tells us we, all Christians, are all sleeping, else we would see how we have perverted the scriptures and the doctrines in the last 100 years. Oh, just try to imagine if our godly forefathers could miraculously come back to life today and could visit and view the churches they had founded for us. And they could hear and see those false scriptures reinterpreted, those false doctrines reinterpreted, to see them openly practiced and preached. Oh, can you imagine the howl of horror that would burst forth out of our godly forefathers' mouths as they thunder condemnation upon all these twisted doctrines, false doctrines, redefined doctrines, advanced in this persecution of hypocrisy, which is a bounding within the Christian churches that they had established. Yes, they had even fought for these doctrines, fought for these scriptural interpretations, willingly died for them. But now they are redefined as the new holiness. What planet can we be from? What can we possibly be thinking that this persecution has lulled us to sleep. But if our forefathers would be angry, just try to imagine how much more exceedingly angry Jehovah is, who is alive and whose eyes are roaming over the whole earth, seeking for truth, seeking for one man that will stand and intercede for their country, that he would not destroy it. Oh, will you be that man to stand for truth, to stand for God's word instead of obeying man's word, the Supreme Court's word, so you don't lose your 501c3 status? Oh, what a persecution it is. Oh, that we might turn from our open apostasy, our sleeping, that we might turn from our wicked ways, that we might repent and fall before God's throne, as the prodigal son did, confessing his guilt and promising his father that he would serve him as his lowest servant. Oh, God is watching all of this persecution, this new persecution, with horror, as he sees all slept. Yes, all, both the foolish and the wise virgins, are sleeping today. There can be no other reason why the last generation has so utterly perverted God's word, redefined God's word, redefined sin. Oh, hearken, hearken, listen. Us sleeping ones, do we hear the footsteps of the bridegroom at the door? Do you hear it? He is coming. He is coming. He is coming. Yes, wake up, wake up, wake up. He is at the door, the bridegroom. He is calling. Oh, wake up. With horror and tears, I implore each person that hears to repent and return to God's word again and escape this persecution of deceit, this persecution of deception, this persecution of lies. No, God has no desire in anyone's death, or in anyone's destruction of hell. No, 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 God desires everyone to be saved. Yes, he desires and calls to us that everyone will return to him in repentance and be washed clean in the blood of Jesus Christ. Yes, that is the power of the gospel as we lift up Jesus Christ before sinners today, as Moses has lifted up the brazen serpent in the wilderness. We can be healed by repenting, looking unto the uplifted Savior. Oh, if you do not have both eyes, with one eye to look up and see him who is altogether lovely and chief among 10,000. Oh, wake up, search and find your lamps of faith again that you have let fall as you fell asleep. Yes, and we know only the wise virgins will find that God has still reserved a little bit of oil in their abandoned lamps of faith, so that they can again light that fire of faith, and they can enter in by God's power. God has given that faith. God has given that oil. God has given that lamp. Yes, we are all asleep under this persecution of the reinterpretation, the redefinition of Scripture, calling sin the new holiness. Oh yes, Satan has destroyed Christendom into these ruins that are falling down around our heads as we sleep. Yes, instead of beauty for ashes, we have ashes for beauty. Oh, this morning come, let us hear the word of God concerning the bitter Christian evidence found in the Christian church in the last days of the last times. And it so describes Christendom also of today. Yes, the Holy Spirit taught Paul some things of the horror of sin dominating the last days in its redefinition. For we see, Scripture tells us in 2 Timothy 4, verse 3 and 4, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Oh, do you hear it? God is warning us of this persecution, of the reinterpretation of Scripture, of the redefinition of sin that abounds today and has lulled us to sleep. Yes, Scripture tells us this, not me, not my word. Scripture tells us that even the elect shall sleep from the deceit of Satan's persecution. And for our scripture this morning, then we'll try to examine the warning of the perilous times that God tells us shall come, shall exist, and shall abound in the end days. Yes, it's written, not by me, written by the Holy Spirit in 2 Timothy 3. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affections, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of all those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sin, led with divers lusts, ever learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Oh, is that not a list of condemnations of the perilous times of the end times of the last days, which we may look around and see evidence everywhere inside God's Christian church? Oh, as we preached last week, this greater persecution in the end times, just before Jesus comes, shall be as David's sword, which killed its 10,000. Saul has killed its thousands, but this persecution shall kill its billions. For the previous persecutions meant an increase of bloody persecutions, of cruelty to the human body. But now on an entirely different type of persecution, a persecution of the mind and of the hand. Yes, that persecution will come as a flood of deceit, guile, and treachery, where Satan will speak as he did to Eve in Eden, saying, "Is it true that God has said this?" Yes, there will be a questioning of God's word, a temptation of believing that God will no longer count sin as sin and will wink at our sins. For Satan has seen in his nearly 6,000 years of his cruel persecution, where he has taught his servants to inflict any and all unimaginable, bloody, cruel atrocities against God's dear children. Yes, so much physical bloodshed. But amazingly, Satan has seen that the more blood he shed, the more it produced more Christians, not less. Oh, we had to do something different, and oh, what a bitter lesson it was for Satan to learn that the blood of martyrs that he shed so freely, so cruelly, actually increased the number of Christians, because those martyrs were the seeds of the church, growing the Christian church, along with the Pentecostal gospel, to all the ends of the earth, to all 197 countries in the world, the gospel is preached. Satan's persecution of blood did not succeed in doing what he had hoped, eliminating Christendom. But now his new persecution of this last times, a persecution of the mind and of the hands, of a spiritual reinterpretation, a spiritual abomination. In his war against souls, yes, Satan's great goal in his war against souls has always been to eliminate Christians, to reduce the number of Christians in the world. But now, when he sees that he has never succeeded, but he has increased Christendom, he has increased it because the blood he had shed was the seed of the church to grow the church. So now in these last times, this persecution that has never been seen before, he has radically changed his persecution tactics, which he uses and which he applies especially to the last generation of the world. Oh yes, this persecution shall kill its billions of Christians, eliminate billions of Christians, where all of his 6,000 years of bloody persecution had only increased Christians. Now Satan is able to kill billions. Oh, it is a persecution in these last times of spiritual delusion, a persecution of man-made deceit, a persecution of great societal prosperity, a rebranding of sin, redefinition of holiness, calling abominable sins the new holiness. Yes, by such a persecution as we see going around us in this past generation and abounds today in Christendom, Satan has been able to destroy millions, hundreds of millions, billions of Christians, and bring them into hell with him. Yes, this persecution of the last time will succeed beyond his wildest hopes. For instead of increasing Christians as his bloody persecutions previously did, this persecution will kill them by the billions. Oh, horror of horrors, this strange new persecution of hypocrisy and the redefinition of scripture and sin is here today. Look around. It rests heavy upon Christendom today. It has come about in the last generation. But look just in the last 10 years. What a flood of this persecution has taken over Christendom and drowned so many who were standing with their swords ready to fight a bloody persecution, not prepared, not knowing that the persecution would rise up behind them in their deceit, in Satan's new persecution. Oh, come then, let us repent today. Let us return to God again, that sin may actually become sin again, that holiness may become holiness and found only in the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, as we have said at Holy War often, and preached over 200 sermons about this apostasy, there we have identified over 100 doctrines of Scripture that have been cunningly perverted by Satan within Christendom, perverting Scripture, redefining sin in this generation. Oh, there is real meaning given to our godly forefathers in these precious doctrines and scriptures that have been perverted, turned upon their heads and inside out and backwards in terms of their application of hypocrisy to Christian life, to Christian church life, to Christian personal life. No. I am not a prophet. No. I have no special gift or revelation from God that is not fully written in Scripture. Not one word of this is mine. Never. I am a sinful man, the chief of sinners. But fortunately, it does not take a prophet to look at today's Christendom and compare those scriptural doctrines of 100 years ago of the Reformation, of the Puritan era, with today's perverted doctrines in their false interpretations, in their horrible applications, that it does not apply to me. Oh no, it does not take a prophet to see this. It simply takes one who reads the Bible honestly, that as an honest kindergartner who is able to read and compare, can do this comparison and quickly see that a huge percentage of establishment Christendom is racing blindly in the darkness on the wrong path toward the cliff of destruction, believing this latest strange persecution of Satan, the lies of Satan in redefining Scripture. No, again I tell you, I am not a prophet. I can simply read Scripture. Oh, to my shame, I confess, yes, I am the world's chief sinner. Don't look for anything in me. I am simply telling you what you can read in the Bible and can discern for yourself if you honestly compare the interpretation of our godly forefathers with the abominable interpretations and applications that abound within establishment Christendom today, which we hope to look at in partly in this sermon, but we will not have time, and if we live in our well, we hope to cover the other 28 fundamental doctrines we have perverted in Christendom next week. Yes, today Christendom is being destroyed before our very eyes, and our hearts do not perceive it. Our ears do not hear it. Oh, Lord, open our eyes, open our ears. Give us a discerning heart that we may perceive the lies that abound within this latest strange great persecution of Satan, which he has brought about in this last century, in this last generation. Oh, we said already, and we say again, how successful Satan has been to deceive hundreds of millions, billions of Christendoms in this new strange persecution of hypocrisy that has so incredibly deceived such a large number of Christians. Today, yes, the parable of the 10 virgins all slept. Not my word. That's God's word that says all slept. Yes, even the elect. Yes, Satan's persecution of hypocrisy in this generation, the redefining and changing of sin into holiness, reigns supreme within such a high percentage of Christendom today. Oh, look around, even 10 years ago, we would never have dared to say some of the things that are openly accepted in Christendom by such a high percentage today. Just 10 years ago, this flood, which has been occurring for the last generation, the last century, just 10 years ago, the floodgates especially opened with the Supreme Court officially approving these sins. And if you do not accept the word of the Supreme Court and accept the word of God instead, then you are counted as a heathen, as a violator of the Supreme Court's word. Yes, this persecution abounds today. Just look at what the last 10 years have done. For to simply believe is not enough. To simply believe a scriptural doctrine with our mind, or even to confess it with our mouth, is not enough. If That doctrine, that scripture has not divinely entered into and renewed our hearts and made us a new person filled with repentance and willingly going against the persecution of this last times, that we must not obey God's word, but we must obey man's word, the Supreme Court's word, and call sin the new holiness. Oh, what a different persecution this persecution of today is from all of Satan's bloody persecutions for nearly 6,000 years. As we said already, were Satan's bloody persecutions only increased the number of Christians. But this persecution, this strange new persecution, such as has never been seen before, where Satan, so cunningly disguised as an angel of light in the churches, so often elected as a leader in the Christian church, has been instrumental in perverting the Word of God into fables, as we read out of our scripture reading, perverting what is sin into the new holiness. Oh, pray then today for opened eyes, opened ears, receptive hearts, that we may honestly examine ourselves and examine this great falling away, where 99% of Christendom does not believe in something of the inerrancy of Scripture. Yes, in this generation of the great falling away, Satan has done this new persecution, which has successfully destroyed billions of Christians. Oh, do not be one of them. Flee from this persecution of your mind. Flee to God's word. Flee to Him who has given His Son, that we may know the triune God again in all of His righteousness, in all of His holiness, in all of His beauty. Yes, do not follow Satan's persecution of today, of redefining God's word, redefining God's doctrines, redefining regeneration and sanctification. Yes, flee from such churches which have accepted those abominable reinterpretations of Scripture and sin, and return to Scripture again. Yes, we say it with bitter tears, weeping, that all the evidence is here, that Christendom is fast asleep as the 10 virgins. Yes, both the foolish and the wise are sleeping today. Wake up, wake up, wake up. Find your lamps again, where God has still preserved for the wise virgins a little oil in your lamps to be able to enter in by faith. Yes, behavior studies have shown that a chained dog does not even notice when his chain is shortened if just one small link is removed each day over time. And in that same way, Satan has gradually and relentlessly changed the scriptural doctrines given to our godly forefathers. Yes, slowly redefined, slowly reinterpreted, but documented each year by researchers. Year after year during the last century, researchers have documented Satan's relentless war, relentless persecution against God's Word. Yes, 100 years ago, as we said, our godly forefathers believed 99% in scriptural inerrancy, meaning what God said in His Word was absolutely true. The immutable God cannot change. But now, as these researchers, such as Dr. Barna, has given evidence in the last 50 years, each research, study, and survey of Christian beliefs conducted by hundreds and thousands of Christian researchers demonstrate in conclusive detail it has been reduced scriptural inerrancy to such a level among Christian millennials that it is down to 1%. Yes, these millennials are the future of the church. They will be the next generation if God continues this world believing 1% in scriptural inerrancy. Oh, horror of horrors of horrors. What have we done to ourselves? Yes, God destroys any of His corrupt Christian churches where they have sinned and corrupted it only by 1%. Oh, just read Revelations of the 7 churches Paul founded, John shepherded. 5 of them had fallen away from the truth already under the onslaught of the persecution of the redefinition of Scripture. Oh, if God destroys the church with only 1% hypocrisy, 1% sin, what will He do to us, to our Christian church today, that there's every reason to believe is 99% corrupt? Oh, God will not be mocked. Yes, God will utterly destroy all corrupt churches by withdrawing His Shekinah glory from them. Yes, without God, without His Shekinah glory, you have nothing in your church. Even though you now have all the redefined sin, all the inclusivity, all of the welcoming that anyone could dream of. Yes, gradually the unthinkable, even 10 years ago, became thinkable. The intolerable became tolerable. Then it became acceptable. Then the Supreme Court made it legal. And then so many churches agreed to redefine it and to praise it. And then now today, those that resist the persecution of Satan's redefinition of Scripture are persecuted. Yes, your 501c3 status is on the line, churches, schools, businesses. Do you value your 501c3 more than God's Word? Oh, perish the thought, for then Then you shall meet a closed door in heaven. Not my word, that's God's word, who tells them that. For ministers will come to heaven's door saying, Lord, Lord, let us in. We have preached thy name in the streets. We have done miracles in thy name. We have served thee faithfully with thy name and in thy word. Oh, but then Jesus shall thunder from behind the closed door of heaven. Depart, depart from me, ye wicked. I have never known you. Yes, redefining scripture is an eternal, deadly sin. But Satan's darkness has steadily, relentlessly dimmed the light of God's word and of the gospel during the last 100 years in this flood of the persecution of delusion, the flood of redefinition. Yes, a persecution that has been such that has never been seen before, but a persecution that shall deceive billions, billions, billions of Christians. Oh, do you hear it? Return to your word again. Return to God's word. Return to our forefathers. Return to the Reformation. Return to what God has taught his people all the ages. Return to the beatitude way of salvation. Yes, even though billions will be deceived, the form will continue. The form of the Christian church will go on. Yes, the form of Christianity will go on. A hollow shell. And yes, it may even prosper greatly. And yes, it may even be impressive in its infrastructure around the world to the outward eyes. The form of Christianity will be there, but inwardly, the power of the Holy Spirit, the efficacy of the blood of Jesus Christ is gone. God has lifted up himself from such churches who succumb to the new persecution of Satan. Yes, Isaiah 5 verse 20 tells us this so conclusively. In the last days, good will be called evil. Evil will be called good. No, not my word. That's God's word, and we see it abounding around us in Christendom today. Good will be called evil. Evil will be called good and deceive billions. Oh, with bitter tears I implore each of us to honestly look around at the disaster, the abominable disaster which Satan's new persecution has caused Christendom to fall into in this generation. Yes, God bitterly weeps and bitterly complains about the open hypocrisy he so often finds in his Christian church. Yes, we have said already often, 32 different times in history and scripture, we see God destroying his own church because they have corrupted his word. Yes, and we may fear, including us in Christianity today. Yes, God says in Matthew 15, verse 8, the form is there. But the power is lacking. God says, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouths, and honoreth me with their lips. But their hearts are far from me. God will spew such out, for God demands 100% of his children's lives, 100% of their hearts, minds, body, soul, and strength. 100%, because nothing else meets his litmus test of a true Christian viewed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, John 15, verse 10 tells us, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Oh, Dr. Barna, who has studied and researched Christendom for the last 50 years, engaged in hundreds and thousands of research studies, measuring the depth and the consistency of Christian beliefs, could only reach one grand conclusion, documented in black and white. He said, Christendom is rotting from the inside. Oh, yes, we have had warnings for the last 100 years that this was coming, this new persecution. Bonhoeffer, already in the 1930s, said he could not find a true church in America. He warned that cheap grace is preached everywhere, preaching forgiveness without requiring repentance, baptism without church discipline, communion without confession. Yes, Bonhoeffer said cheap grace is grace without discipleship, grace without the cross, grace without Jesus Christ, living and incarnate. Yes, discipleship costs Christians everything. Over 100 years ago, William Booth said in the 1890s, as he looked ahead to the next century, the chief danger that confronts the coming generation, the coming century, will be a religion without the Holy Ghost, Christendom without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, salvation without regeneration, heaven without hell. Yes, my grandfather wrote in his fifth book already in 1936 that Christendom is on the broad way to destruction, racing in their error relentlessly toward hell. Well, Martin Lloyd-Jones said, for this generation, there are a people today who seek to teach and to believe that you can take Christ as your Savior without taking him as your Lord and King. Such people say that you can take justification without experiencing sanctification. They say you can have forgiveness of sins without striving for holiness. But it is a lie. A lie coming from Satan's mouth. Yes, so many Christians expected evil in this last persecution to appear in obvious forms with the bloody sword, wet with blood, announcing itself and clearly displaying its bloody intentions. Yes, sadly, that is what Christians have been taught to expect. And they stand resolutely waiting for the bloody sword of persecution to appear. But that is not the reality. Satan's persecution is a new and strange persecution of subversion, of manipulation, of tricking Christianity, of redefining Scripture redefining sin, imagining foolishly that something that is evil and abominable is actually good and counted as holiness, tricking Christians into giving evil your consent as you are forced by man's law, man's word, to welcome open abominable sin into the church as some new kind of holiness. Yes, God will not be mocked. You may deny him, you may hate him, you may blaspheme him, but every person on earth will one day bow before Jesus Christ and call him Lord one day. Oh, what a difference if we learn by grace to voluntarily bow our knees in repentance before God on this side of the grave, instead of forcing him to break our rebellious, unbowed knees at the great judgment. Yes, we are in persecution today, a great persecution as has never been seen before. Flee from it. Flee back to God's word. Flee to the doctrines and the word of our forefathers of the Reformation, I plead with tears. Amen.